You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Last week, and we're talking about being foolproof. We spoke about just in your life having a foolproof life. And what we mean by that is we understand what it means to be fireproof. We understand what it means to be waterproof. Used these analogies last week, but to be foolproof, that you're not going to be fooled. You're not going to make foolish decisions, should I say. I made this statement last week, and I want to repeat it, and I'm going to repeat it each week to drive it deep into our spirit, is that foolish decisions bring pain. Foolish decisions. If you make a foolish decision or I make a foolish decision, it's going to cause pain. How many know we don't want pain? Look at someone say, I don't want no pain. Amen. And so that's that we realize none of us want to go through that pain. Pain in your finances, pain in other areas of your life, pain in your relationships, your marriages. And so this is what we're trying to deal with today. There was a guy, he's still alive. His name is David Petraeus. David Howell Petraeus. And so David Howell Petraeus is a highly decorated four-star general, or he was a four-star general. He's been given medals over four decades. They start from the 70s right up until the 2000s. He graduated top of his class. He's been to West Point. When it comes to being a soldier, he is the top of the top. He's served in multiple military campaigns all around the world. He's recognized for his courage and his intellect. He left kind of the military service and he became head of the CIA in 2011. And so just as he became 2011, someone started to think about this guy. Looking at his full career, this guy has done so many things. They said, you know, we need to write this guy's autobiography. We need to put on paper this guy's leadership, his mentoring, his strategies. These things, he needs a legacy to, he could teach so many people. And so that started. In 2011, this autobiography started. Around the same time, he took over being the head of the CIA. Only a year into the job, just over a year into the job, 2012, he goes to the White House. In 2012, he goes into the White House. He's there to see President Obama. He's there. He sees President Obama, and what he does is he gives him his resignation. Everybody knew he was going to the White House to see the president to give him his resignation. This wasn't a secret. Everybody knew it was going to happen. Everybody knew what was going on. And what had happened was is that a lady had said to him, look, I want to write your autobiography. And he brought this woman into his life. And so this him and this woman, she would follow him all around the world. She'd be taking down notes, asking him questions. She had exclusive access to him so that she could glean information about his autobiography. And what happens was, is that he started to have an affair with this woman. This guy's in his 60s, she's in her 30s. They're having an affair. They thought they were clever. And so what they did was, is that they opened up an email account. But they didn't send each other emails. What they did is they opened up an email account and they gave each other the username and the password. And so how they would operate is they would create emails and save them as, you know, drafts of an email. And so she would write an email and just save it in her account. She wouldn't send it. Then he would log in and he would see that email that was drafted by her. At some point, he starts to realize, listen, I want to cut this thing off. You know, he's had his way, he's had his fun, he's gone round a few times. And so now he wants to cut it off. And she starts to get a bit jealous. And she goes, she remembers seeing him with a friend of the family, their family. This man is married, he's been married decades. And he sees this other woman talking to him. And so the woman he's having an affair with, her name was Paula. So Paula sees David, this guy, and he sees her with this woman. And she starts to say, you know what, you're not going to leave me for this woman. And so she starts to send emails to this woman, attacking this woman. Now, this woman had some connections with somebody in the FBI. And she says, listen, I'm receiving these harassing emails. These crazy emails. Someone's threatening me and doing all of this stuff. And so the FBI look into it. And what they do is they find out that it's this woman, Paula. And what they do is then they find out as they're looking at this, they're like, well, hold up, who else is logging on here? And they find out it's this guy, the head of the CIA. And this whole thing comes out. It blows open. And so here is this man. If you can go and look at his, he's on Wikipedia, you can look at his life, and his pages of what this man has done. Pages, he's been here, he's been there, he's had presidents congratulate him. He's got, if you see a picture of him, he's got his portrait, and the whole this side of his jacket is full of all of these medals and colors and stripes and all of that. And as you scroll down at the end, it says, the affair with Paula. Here is this man who's very clever. But even with all his cleverness, lust turned him into a fool. I want to preach about lust today. Because if you're going to be foolproof, you're going to have to get some wisdom when it comes to this issue of lust. This man lost everything. From the perspective of his legacy, his respect. How many know we don't want that to be us. Proverbs 5 verse 1, it says this, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and that your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. I want to also read Proverbs 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp. The law is a light. This means God's word. When it says commandment and law, these are the same things. It's talking about God's word. Reproof for instruction are the way of life. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of the seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by the means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. And an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy. Father, I pray that your spirit will take control of this service. Father, we desperately need you right now. Speak to us. Lord, in this generation, lust is such a stronghold in many people's lives. But Father, we know that you are the one who can break strongholds. You are the one that can bring deliverance. You are the one that can convict, even in the secret areas of our heart. Father, I pray for those that are going astray, Father, that you would give them wisdom. We ask you this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, it's not easy to be the head of the CIA. Do you know how intelligent you have to be the head of the CIA? They're not just letting everybody into the CIA. Me and you, we can't just send them our CV. How many know that? Oh yeah, I think, you know, you get up one day. This is years and years of distinction, years and years of service. Not just that, but intellect, strategy. You have to be clever, educated, articulate. Not only is this guy very intelligent, when you look at the woman that he had an affair with, she is very intelligent. She's very educated. One of the places that they met when she's studying in Harvard. She's gone all around these high universities. When you read about what their achievements are, their PhDs and masters and all of these things, but here are these two people that are so clever do something so stupid. Lust will turn you into a fool. You will do things that you thought you would never do. This guy is the head of the CIA. Can you imagine what information he's aware of that we're not aware of? Like the head of the CIA, really and truly, the person he reports to is the president of America. He would have seen the CIA is the central intelligence side of the military and all of these things. But it's to do with around the world. The FBI is internal. This is in the country. CIA is world. So he would have known things all around the world. He would have known about emails and spying and all of these things. But even with all his knowledge, he did not at one point say, bro, come on, think about this now. Look what you're doing with this woman. You're going to be caught. You've got all the information, all the knowledge, but he couldn't put it to use. There are many people in the Bible that we see that have fallen under this thing called lust. See, we're not just talking about, people that don't know, people that are uneducated, people that are silly, they're just hanging about with you. That won't happen to me. Lust won't turn me into a fool because I'm clever, I'm wise, I know what I'm doing. We understand about Samson in the book of Judges. Samson was a judge. He was this guy that was anointed by God to lead the children of Israel. The Spirit of God would come on him and he would just deal with anybody that would come up against him. He would deal with any soldiers. No one could do anything. They would try to tie him up. He would break out of it. They would try to attack him. He would deal with armies. No one could stop this guy. But lust did. King David, again, an unstoppable force. The Bible says in Proverbs 7 verse 26, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Now, when we're going to go through these passages of scriptures, it's going to speak about the strange woman. But this is not for for men. This is for men and women. When the Bible is writing this, it's painting a picture. But really, it's speaking of spiritual things. And so there's just as many strange men as there are women. Don't say, the Bible's speaking of a spirit that will get hold of your life. And it says, who has slain many strong men. Are you stronger than Samson? Are you closer to God than David? Is that your confidence? Oh, I know God, man. I'm serious about God. David's poems to God are scripture. They were so godly, God's like, Holy Spirit, put them in the Bible. You know, many people would say the most powerful man in the world is usually what they would say is the leader of the free world. The president of America has the biggest army. So they would say this is the most powerful man in the world. And in our political climate over the last 10 somewhat years, today is September the 11th, and we all remember witnessing the attack on America. And so there are people in this world that hate America, and there would be no greater joy than cause harm to America and to cause harm to him by causing harm to their president. And so you think about the president. We couldn't even imagine the amount of people that want to cause him harm. The amount of attacks and all of these things that have been foiled. And they can't get to him. They want to get to him, but they can't get to him. And so he's protected. But there's a president whose name was Bill Clinton. And no Taliban took him out. No Al-Qaeda, whatever they called, took him out. No, ISIS took him out. Lust took him out. The most powerful man in the world, that nothing can touch him. All the secret servant agents around him. He's in a car, they call it the Beast. This car, even missiles if they went in it. But at the end of the day, it wasn't that that made him have to retire, resign, give up his job. It was just a woman called Monica. If you're Monica here, we love you, man. And so, lust has destroyed many kings, presidents. Lust has destroyed families. You know, lust has destroyed families. It's destroyed fathers and mothers. Before we point fingers at the world, lust has destroyed pastors. I know personally of almost 10 pastors that lust has destroyed. And so when I put this sermon together or I read these texts, I have to read this and put this together and study this with soberness in myself. Like, wow, men that have preached longer than me, men that have gone further than me, men that maybe have more anointing and more influence than me, have been brought down, have been turned into a fool by this thing called lust. See, the Bible shows us how it gets into us. It takes control of us. And when you look at the language of it, it's like we're trapped. Listen to this, Proverbs 7 verse 21. And with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. Think about this now. She enticed him. She spoke things that enticed him, and then he yields. He relaxes. He submits to her. That's what it means. To yield is to submit. And so at one minute you're resisting. No. And she speaks things, and then you yield. You stop resisting. You're submitted. We sung that song about surrender. I surrender. That's what the Bible says. By lust, you surrender to lust. And now it starts to pull you and take its way with you. How did this happen? With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Proverbs 6:24. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of the seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. I don't know how that's working, but maybe they had fake lashes back then. Who knows? Hey, I ain't got nothing wrong with fake lashes, man. Go for it. Make it work. But think about this now. The Bible is saying that somehow this spirit of lust gets into us and then it starts to control us. We've yielded to it. We're seduced by it. We're enticed by it. It's got into us. It gets into the heart. Do you know how it gets into the heart? It gets into the heart through the gates. It gets into the heart. Look what it said here. It says, it speaks about, a flattering tongue. She's speaking things. Do not lust after her beauty. That means you're seeing things. So you're seeing and hearing things, and that's how she gets into your heart. That's how the spirit takes hold of you. You're seeing things and you're hearing things. You could be so powerful, so strong. You may be young, you may be old. You may be like, this is too old for me. This is for young people. No, listen, there's a lot of old fools about. You could be like, I'm too young. No. Young, old, black, white, rich, poor, man, woman. Save, unsafe. I think many times when you see the eye gate, the access into the heart, this is how many men fall. Now, this is not a golden rule. We can't say this is a rule because there's always going to be the exception to a rule. But most men are more visual than women. Most men are attracted by what they see. And so, you know, if you're not careful here as a man, you got to keep it real. There is something about a woman and a woman's body that's attractive to a man. Now, all the men are just like pretending like that's not, because it's Sunday, so I'm not attracted to you. Listen, just keep it real. You could take a guy into space. He could look at the planet and be like, this is beautiful. You could take him up to a mountain. This is beautiful. You can show him a sun setting and the thing is beautiful. But to a man, there is nothing more beautiful than a woman. And men are just looking at me again. It's like, If I say yeah, am I sinning? That we know it's true, because we've had about 20 weddings in a week in this church. This is why you got to be careful what you look at, bro. You got to be so careful, because you're allowing something in that's going to take hold of your heart and turn you into a fool. This is why, as a woman, you got to be very careful how you dress. Proverbs 7 verse 10 says this, and there was a woman met him with the attire of a harlot, and a crafty heart. The Bible didn't say that she was a harlot. It's not saying she's a whore, but it says that she dresses like a harlot. And so what the Bible actually says here is identifying is that there is a way that you can dress, which you're saying by the way that you dress that you are open for sex. Is that not what it says in the Bible? If you disagree, say no. No one said no. It says here, she had the attire of a harlot. She dressed like a harlot. There is a way that you can dress that you're saying that you're open for sex. Now you may say, oh no. Are you saying that men have an excuse to abuse women and rape women? Never. A man never has an excuse to rape a woman or to abuse a woman or to have any type of sexual thing with a woman. Once a woman says no, it's no. How many know that's right? She says no. Shouldn't be putting drugs in people's drinks and doing those things there. No. But what we are saying and what the Bible is saying is that there is a way that a woman can dress that you're saying, this is the type of woman I am. Now, if I was to ask question, if I was to say here, which woman in this place you are open right now? You just want to have sex with somebody. There is not one woman that would put her hand up. You find it almost offensive, me saying it. Then I would say to you this, make sure that your wardrobe is not saying what your mouth is not saying. Make sure that your wardrobe says what your mouth says. Make sure that your wardrobe is communicating exactly what is in your heart. Now, they shouldn't judge me. The Bible says here, it identifies. You know, as a younger man, I was naive. And as I'm with my wife, from time to time, you'd see, well, I said, oh my days, what is she dressed? That ain't here. And I'd be like, she don't know. My wife, like, she knows. She knows what she's doing. And the women here, listen, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. A woman should desire to be modest. 1 Timothy 2 verse 9. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Say modest apparel. It's just an old English way of saying modest clothing. With propriety and moderation, not with braided hair of gold and of pearls and of costly clothing, but which is proper for a woman, professing godliness with good works. What it's saying is that there is a way that a Christian woman should dress. If you profess godliness, we understand there are many people that don't know Christ. We don't go around judging people that don't know Christ. We evangelize to them. Before I knew Jesus, I was lost. I would do crazy things. I was the worst. I was unclean. I was filthy. I had a filthy mouth, a filthy mind, and filthy actions. But once I got saved, at that point, it's time to change. And the Bible says here, is that every Christian woman in this building, your goal should be modesty. Every time you adorn yourself, it should be modesty. Men, you have to watch what you watch, because you're going to be trapped. The world will tell you that looking at pornography is harmless. Looking at just lusting after women, as long as I look, I don't touch. It's touching you. It's getting a hold of your heart. It goes in a lot easier than it comes out. I cannot tell you the amount of men I've had to counsel because of this issue. But it's not just men, it's women. Remember the Bible said in the text that she seduces with her words. Women, you have to be very careful who you talk to and how you allow men to talk to you. We understand that there is brothers. And every woman, every Christian woman, you have brothers. We are your brothers in Christ. In the women in this church, either you're a sister, or I see you as almost a sister or a daughter. And so when I talk to you, I must talk to you in that fashion. I must talk to you from that posture. There are things that I would not say to my sister. There are things I would not say to my mother. So I would not say those things to you. They'd be inappropriate. If I said those things to my mother, he'd be like, hey, no, that's sick. That's like one of those stories in the Daily Mail, man. Stop that. You know what I'm talking about. And so that's how we've got to deal with one another. And ladies, that's how you should allow a brother to speak to you. Obviously, when it comes to a time where this guy showed his attraction to you, but you must still, listen, I must understand your intentions. I don't just let the guard down. Some women just let the guard down. One guy, hey, you look nice. Guard is down. Take me. I don't even need a dress. You're like, no. Okay, I like what you're saying, but let's see some actions. You know the Bible says about Adam and Eve? The serpent is masculine. Obviously, Eve is feminine. Eve is deceived, the Bible says, because the serpent, what? He doesn't coil himself around her, trap her. Ugh, she's strangling, boa constrictor. All the air is coming out of her body. And then he stuffs the apple in her, or the fruit in her mouth. Going to eat it. She's, how many know that didn't happen? All he did is he spoke to her. Basically, the Bible says that the serpent had game. The serpent is like just nicing her up, talking some nice words to her. He's filling her head with things. Can I tell you, listen, I don't care how, ladies, you got to be very careful about those sweet-talking brothers, those smoothies. And I ain't talking about drinks. I'm in the house of God. See, this is why I thank God for Jesus, because I ain't got no game, but I got a beautiful wife. So God is good, because he just hooked me up. He's like, this brother ain't got no game, so I'm just going to do a miracle. Because I'm not a smoothie guy. I don't know if you've realized that yet. I'm just, yeah, what's going on? Yeah, that's right. But there's some guys there. Licking of the lips. Yeah, what's going on? I can't even do it. Like this. What's the matter? You get some stuff, man. They don't want to talk to you in public. Hey, you see in church? Hey, yeah, talk. No. I'll call you later. No. You talk to me now. Ain't no call me later. You better talk to me now. How about you calling me later? Let's come in church, pretend like you don't know me. As soon as you step out the door, like I got 50 missed calls from you. This spirit, oh my days. You know how women's head, some guys have matted some women's head with words. Words. These two gates we've got to be careful of, church. Because we don't want to turn into a fool. See, wisdom is what's going to guide you here. I remember first reading the story of Samson. I'm not going to go into it. You can read it in Judges, but the story of Samson is a crazy story. Here's this guy, he's got super strength. He's just, going around beating everybody up for Jesus. That's a good ministry, man. And so he's there, and then he sees this Delilah. And so Delilah is hired by his enemies to entrap him. They want to find out the secret of his strength. And so she's like, Samson, you know, what's the secret of your strength? And he says, oh, okay, if you tie me up with a bow string that hasn't been dried. So she ties him up when he's asleep. And then, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he wakes. And lo and behold, he's covered in the same thing that he told her would be his weakness. But he doesn't put two and two together. Have you ever read that and thought, this is nuts? And he does this about three times. He does it with new rope, and then he does it with his hair being in a loom and all of this stuff. And eventually, the Bible says that she kept pestering him. And I'm like, when you're reading it, it's almost like you can see it. Samson, wake up! Can you not see what's happening here? This woman is dangerous, man. That girl is poison. Some of you, you're too young for that. Praise God. Can't get it out of my head. No. Let's stop. I saw someone do the running man. But that's how it is. This girl's is poison. That's what, when I read that, it's like poison. For some reason, it's like, bro, look what's happening here, man. You know why? Because lust turns you into a fool. Blatant things you can't see anymore, man. This is what it says here, Proverbs 5:11. And you mourn at the last. That means the way it's ended up, it causes you a lot of problems. When your flesh and your body are consumed. Don't know, maybe that's some type of disease. And say, how have I hated instruction? Go home in this. How have I hated instruction? My heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ears to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. Here is this individual who's at the end, their life is almost ruined, and they're like, oh. And what they're saying is, I didn't listen to anybody. I hated instruction. My heart despised correction. Nobody could teach me. I wouldn't listen to anybody. To be foolproof is to be like Samson, because Samson, if you know him, he wouldn't listen to anybody. Today, are you open to instruction? This is hard because this takes humility and patience, especially when it comes to the areas of the heart. See, without this, you're going to turn into a fool. I want to ask you a question today. I don't want you to answer out. I want you to think about it. Who can instruct you? Who can teach you some stuff? Who can correct you when you're going wrong? I don't mean tell you off. I'm not even going to assume that I'm that person. I'm saying, who do you have, if anybody? If you start going off direction because lust has got in and it's pulling you, who do you have around you that can say, no, you're going off and the end is going to be destruction. Let me help you. Let me correct you. He says, I had nobody. I hated it. There are people that, one of the things I've learned as a pastor is that we can all live a certain way where you project this thing where, don't talk to me. You can project this. You can come to church because the Bible says they were destroyed in the congregation, in the midst of the assembly. This is a person who's attending a church, but they are destroyed. It's sad when you are destroyed in the church, when there was wisdom and instruction and teachers all around you within hands reach, but you were still destroyed. You're still going on with this thing. And this is the sad, is that it gets to a point where nobody can speak to you because you project this thing. Don't talk to me. I don't want nobody to correct me. I don't want no one to talk to me. There are people I cannot correct, even though I see them going off a cliff. we can no longer speak to you. We can see you. It's about to go off. Because we project that. I don't want no one speaking to me. It's funny, the very thing that you won't use, you lose. You know Samson, he wouldn't use his eyes. And when they got him, he lost his eyes. He lost his eyes. The Bible speaks about the last king that was in Judah. And he refused to see what God was doing. He refused to respond to God. You know what happened? Is that the Babylonians came in and God said, I'm going to allow this to happen. This wasn't something that God didn't know. He said, no, you're going to come in. Babylonians came in. They took him and they took his sons. And what they did is they killed his sons in front of him. They killed his sons in front of him. And then they took out his eyes. And that's the last thing you're going to remember you ever saw. The Bible says with Samson, they capture Samson now. Lust has turned him into a fool. They gouge out his eyes. Here is this man that was once, they feared this man. This man was like, oh my days. Listen, when you are serving God, demons tremble. When you get up in the morning for prayer and you go on an outreach, and we heard a report about people going on impact teams and all of this, and you're preaching and you're ministering, demons tremble because you speak in the name of Jesus. You've prayed for people and preached over people. We stand, we're not scared. You can throw witchcraft, hex, you can do what you want. You may have a doll of me and you're putting needles in it. Do all that you want. You're going to get repetitive hand strain, man. Nothing will happen to me because I'm covered by the blood. But listen, don't allow lust to pull you out. Because the very thing they were all scared about, now you become a joke. And you know what they said about Samson? They said, bring him out when we want to have a laugh. That's what the Bible says, for sport, for a joke. And so they, if they were having a good time, they were partying, had the music on, and they were drinking. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Because, you know, they didn't have Xbox, FIFA, nothing. So they pull out Samson. That was their fever. They bring out Samson. They bring out Samson. And they bring him out. Who knows what they did? Friend threw at him. Go on. Go call God now. Do that now. And now he's in front of them blind. Eyes poked out. What a tragedy. I don't want to go out like that, church. Listen, I do not want to go out like that. As I preach this message, I preach it. I'm boisterous. That's just the way I am. But I preach it with humility. Because the Bible says, watch where you stand, lest you fall. I'm not here judging other people who have fallen. I'm just saying that's the reality. If you've fallen, you've fallen. I'm not saying I'm any better, but what I'm saying is this, is that I need people around me. I need to be wise. I need to be led by the Spirit. I need to watch what I watch and be careful who I listen to so that I don't become a fool. God wants to work in our lives through this. God is always have a plan of redemption. I want to speak about how to recover. Let me close with this. When God looks at us, he looks at us through grace and forgiveness. Many times what God is going to deal with is our conscience first. You know, the Bible speaks about in John 8, there was a woman caught in adultery. If you read the text, the Bible says that this woman was caught in adultery and they bring this woman to Jesus and they said, Moses says in the law we should stone this woman. And Jesus saying, okay, so you're bringing the law to me. So this is what should happen. This is the law. You sin, you're punished. You sin, you're punished. You sin, you're punished. This woman, lust had hold of her. Look what she did. Lust had its way with her. Punish her. And before we judge that, think about it now. Because if that was your husband that she had committed adultery with. Imagine there was a sister in the church and she committed adultery with your husband. Now you'd be looking at that story in a whole different light. Because usually you look at it like, yeah, the woman, honey, grace. Now you want to, yeah, I'll be up there stoning. Some serious stoning, man. But think about this now. Jesus says, okay, you brought the law and you've done all of this. Jesus says, Because they're adding things up. Look, she did this, she did this, she did this, equals stone. And then Jesus says, okay, you guys are into adding so much. You guys like want to count law. You guys are into the law, letter of the law. He says, whoever is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Because when they came to Jesus, they're saying that the law, they're into counting. Yeah, we've counted their sins. And Jesus said, no problem, no problem. This is why Jesus is just amazing. Jesus is the man. He's serious. And so think about now, that he that is without the first. And so now, when they start counting, they realize, no. I don't want that type of justice anymore. See, what Jesus is doing, he's silencing the conscience. See, you could be here today and you've done things that you're ashamed of. Who knows? Maybe I know, maybe I don't know. Listen, we've all done things we're ashamed of. We've all done things we're ashamed of. And Jesus says here, I'm wiping all the counting away and I'm giving you grace. In John 8 verse 10, it says, when Jesus had risen up and he saw that no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus says, listen, I can forgive every transgression of lust. But how many know we need to be more than forgiven? We need to be liberated. I don't just want to be forgiven and go back and do the same thing again and again and again. I need to be liberated. I need to be changed and transformed. See, the whole reason why lust works like this is that it has to entice. It has to sneak its way. It has to get into our hearts. And that's where it wants to go. Remember what he said is, do not lust for after it in your heart. This is what he was saying. It's a heart issue. We can do a lot of things to stop people. Don't go here, don't go here, don't go there, don't go there, don't do this, don't do that. And we've regulated you. And you know, maybe there's a place for that sometimes. And so we've tied your hands. But can I tell you, if we don't change your heart, eventually, you're going to kick off those restraints and you're going to go right back. You're going to go back because it's the issue of the heart, because it's in the heart. See, what Jesus wants is that he wants us to be free in the heart. I need two volunteers. I'm going to pick Prince. Yeah, come up. Everett. I'm going to sit here. If you stand here for me. Yes, young man. Long time we haven't seen you up here, man. You stand here. I want you to think of this as your heart. And imagine this is a throne. I mean, I should have got one of those bigs, but they roll. I might roll off the stage. So imagine this is your heart. And so this is the throne. This is where everything comes from. The Bible says, to guard your heart, because what comes out of it is the issues of life. So what lust has to do is, this is what lust has to do. It has to entice. It has to seduce. It has to sneak its way in. And so it sneaks its way into your heart, and then lust is sitting there. And once lust is sitting there, now it rules you. This is where you're ruled from. This is the base of power. If it gets here, what it wants you to do, you will do. And this is why the Bible says, listen, you've got to be so careful about the issues of the heart. So why are these guys here? This is why Jesus says this. Jesus says that if a man looks at a woman, he's done just as bad as a man who's touched a woman, committed adultery with her. Doesn't he say that? Doesn't he say that? Some of you that don't know. Okay. And so this is Imagine this now. So I'm going to be lost, and then I'm not going to be lost after the service. So right now I'm lost, and so what I would say is I'm ruling him, and I'm ruling him. I'm on a throne in his heart. I'm on a throne in his heart. And so to him, I'm going to say, look at the pulpit. And so he's looking at the pulpit. Now imagine the pulpit is sin. Imagine the pulpit is a sinful activity. And so because I rule him, I'm here. I'm in his heart, man. What I say goes. I'm like, yeah, look at her, man. Look at that. Go online. Type that in. Come on, shift that mouse about. Come on, faster. And so he's looking. Because I'm ruling him. I'm lust. I'm ruling him. And then I say to this young man here, touch it. Put your hand on it. Just put your hand on it. Don't worry. You're not going to. Just guess it. Keep your hand there. Okay, you're smiling. You're laughing. I don't know what's happening here. Jesus, help us. Think about this now. How many know it's the same spirit? It's the same spirit. Have you ever wondered why would Jesus say the man who looks is the same as the man who touches? Because it's the same spirit on his heart. It's the same thing enthroned. So this is what Jesus wants. Jesus doesn't want to manage you. See, what I might be up here is, see, this is me now. This is me. So I'm like this. I'm trying to stop him. So I'm like, I'm over here. No, just stand there. Don't worry. You're stronger than me anyway. So I'm stopping him. But the problem is this. I could cover his eyes. But as soon as I put my thing down, lust, keep looking. Listen to the pastor. Oh boy, I don't know what he's talking about. Anyway, keep looking. See, because I rule him. So I you can stop for a while. But what's the issue? What do we need to deal with? We need to deal with the heart. And this is why Jesus comes and he preaches a whole different style and a whole different approach than what the Pharisees and religion. Maybe you're here and you go to church and you're religious and you grew up in church and you came here for religion. We're not here for religion. We're here for a revolution. That's what we want. We want a revolution. We want a coup d'etat. We want to knock lust off. Okay, come here a second. Just sit there. And so basically, he's going to be lust now. And this is salvation. Get up. This is Jesus. This is salvation. This is why you pray. This is why you read your Bible. Come back here. Don't worry. I love you. And so what's happening here is that every time you're praying, well, there's a wrestling. Stay there. And then you stop praying. No, pray. Every time you don't want to come to church. And then I'm coming to church. Every time you want to read your Bible. I don't want to read my Bible. You will read your Bible. This is how you keep Jesus on the throne. And this is how you change. Thank you. You could go back. Thank you. Amen. See, Jesus not only wants to deal with our conscience, to forgive us, to wipe away all sin. He wants to liberate us. He wants a revolution. A revolution, you know, a whole turn, turning things a full all the way round. That's what it means, a revolution, a coup d'etat, a coup, where one leader is toppled and another leader takes control. This is what it's all about. The Bible says there is a woman at the well, John 4. This woman's had five husbands. How many know she's controlled by lust? Come on. Five husbands. And the guy she's living with is not even a husband. She comes to the well, she's thirsty. Listen, lust will promise to fool you and leave you thirsty. This is not even in my sermons. Lust, how do I tell lust from love? Love will wait. Lust can't wait. Lust can't wait. It can't wait. So lust is like, yeah, I'll fool you. And you're drinking lust. You're getting more thirsty. Here is this woman. She comes to the well because she's thirsty. And it's a metaphor. It's the Bible's so powerful. And so here is this woman at a place in a desert land where you get water. Jesus says, listen, give me the water. She said, who are you talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm not a Jew. And so Jesus says these words. Let me just read it. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. That's lust. Whoever drinks of lust will thirst again. It doesn't matter what kind of lust it is, it's going to be thirsty. It could be you're not married and you're lusting. You're going to be thirsty. You could be married and you're lusting off someone else. It could be man, woman, lust. It doesn't matter. Lust will leave you thirsty. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give, he will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. You read down and in verse 28, the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man who told me all these things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? The Bible says, here is this woman. Before she meets Christ, she wants the temporal quenching of this earthly well. After she meets Christ, she's received so much, she leaves her bucket there. I don't need that no more. And she goes off. This is salvation. This is salvation. God wants to set us free today. As a young man, I was bound by lust. As a young convert, and I had to wrestle. And finally, I said, listen, I can't live this life no more. Jesus has to be on the throne of my heart. And can I tell you today, I'm not perfect, but that thing don't rule me no more. I'm free. We can all be free. Let not lust turn you into a fool. Let's be wise. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.